Ages Prison Ministry, and I make my home in Nitro, West Virginia. Amen. And we've been members of Taste Valley Baptist Church. I have since I was 8 years old, which is where Brother Mike's out of, your pastor. And my family came there back in 1988. Amen. When I was just a little boy. I was little at one time. Amen. Hard to believe, I know. But that's where I met my wife, and where God called me to preach, and where God called me the prison ministry. And so I love Taste Valley Baptist Church, and we have been sent with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry now for 13 years as missionaries with them. And I've preached in this church quite a few times over the years, and it's good to be back here. We traveled the country with them for the first 3 years, kind of like every missionary does. It starts out of the Rock of Ages, and I preached in prisons from New York to Florida, from North Carolina to Missouri, and everywhere in between. But over the last 10 years, that 13 years, I've been working in my home state of West Virginia. We have 24 prisons that we go into. I preach to kids as young as 10 years old in juvie. And by the way, y'all lock them up in Kentucky at 10. 10 years old in juvie, all the way up to men and women dying in prison. Could be 80, 90 years old. Amen. And so I love what God's called me to do. Pretty much everything I do is evangelistic. We'll hold a 3-day revival in that prison, and we'll preach to those men, those women, those young people. In the juvenile, they give us a little bit more opportunity than they do in the adults, and we get to do stuff with them during the day too. And so we'll have church every night with them, and then one day we'll normally have some visitation. We'll get a chance to witness to them, pass out tracts, answer the Bible questions. One day we'll do a character class with them, like we do in the public schools, and then one day we will get a chance to play some games with them. Amen? And so we enjoy working with young people. I love working with teenagers, and it's probably my favorite thing to do. It's probably my favorite kind of prison is juvenile prison. Amen, believe it or not. And then we also do a little bit of school ministry, though I'm getting out of that right now, not because there's not a need there, but because I just feel like the Lord wants me to focus on the prisons. And so nothing that we were doing in the schools is going to be lost. So just be somebody different than me doing it. Amen. And so I just feel like I need a little bit more time with my family, my wife Michelle, and then we have a daughter who's 8 years old, Leah, and then we have a little boy, his name's Andrew, he's 4 years old, and we're just getting ready to adopt him in the next couple weeks, amen? And so we're looking forward to that and making him officially a member of the family, though he already is. And we do a little bit in the schools, and like I said, we're getting out of that, but what we do in the schools in West Virginia, we do character classes where we target about 60 missing character traits missing from the lives of the average young person today. We deal with things such as gaining respect. We deal with things such as abstinence from drugs and alcohol and things like that. We deal with depression. We deal with suicide. We deal with commitment. Just a host of different topics that we deal with the kids. They make the kids come to hear these character classes. Amen. I have a group of Logan County kids that have to see me once a month for a character class. They don't get a choice, amen? You say, how can that be? Well, because the lessons are neutral, academic, historical, and objective. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, what that means specifically is that everything that we do is on PowerPoint. It's all professionally done. The kids normally have a handout. They fill in the blanks when they do it. And we may on one slide quote, Martin Luther King, as it applies to what we're talking about, or we may quote George Washington, or we may quote Abraham Lincoln, but then on the next slide, we'll quote Paul the Apostle, or we'll quote, we'll put on there a proverb, amen?
Amen,
we just don't put the book of the Bible, chapter, and verse, and not because we can't, but because we don't want to draw any unneeded attention to what we're doing. Every now and then a kid will catch it and say, isn't that a Bible verse? Yes, it is, and then just move right on, just keep on rolling, amen? And so even though nothing that we're doing is illegal, that doesn't stop stuff from happening. Amen? So we try to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves.
Amen.
You may say, well, in that setting, if the kids are made to come, you probably can't give an invitation. You're right. In that setting, they're made to come. You can't sing gospel songs. You're right. You're not supposed to lead them to the Lord right there in the classroom. You're right. But I'll tell you why we do the schools. Not only are we teaching them what's right and wrong, which they're not learning in their homes nor from the school curriculum, but we're teaching them, and we know all those morality comes from the Word of God. All of it does, okay? But when the kids ask questions, we can answer it to the fullest extent.
Amen.
So I don't hide that I'm a preacher when I go in there. In fact, the first day I introduced myself to my students that I'm going to have all year long, they kind of look at me real weird, like, what's this preacher doing in my classroom, and why am I being forced to listen to him? Amen? And I tell them all the time, I said, some of y'all act like you may not like me by the look on your face. I said, but you'll like me. It'll just take some more time for some of you than others. Brother Blake grows on you like a fungus. Did y'all know that? It just takes over, don't it, Brother Mike? Some people just takes longer than others. Amen. It's just going to creep over you guys. He's going to be here. He's my friend. I guarantee I'm going to be preaching here again. You may not like me this time, but I grow on you like a fungus. Amen. You won't have any choice but to like Brother Blake. It just takes some more time for some than others. Amen. But I cut up and laugh with those kids. I poke fun at my fat belly and all kinds of good stuff. Amen. And just have a good time with them. They grow to like us. Amen. But when we're in there, it's kind of like when you're a public school teacher. You shouldn't hide your faith from your kids. That should come out pretty soon in the year. Amen. As you're going. Amen. And just like a public school teacher, if a student would ask you in the middle of class a question about what you're teaching in relation to your faith, that teacher can answer that question because the kid asked. Y'all with me? So when I'm in there teaching these lessons, literally every year in almost every single class when I teach on Sometimes Life Is Not Fair, which is based off the life of Job, and we talk about depression, of course, suicide comes up. And so I will have a kid normally almost in every class, but at least one time during the day when I do it, multiple times, normally every class, I have a kid raise their hand, I'll call them, yes, and they'll say, if I commit suicide, am I going to die and go to hell? And I'll say, well, I assume since you said hell, you mean according to the Bible, since you know I'm a preacher. Yes. Okay, well, the Bible says, no, if you commit suicide, you're not going to go to hell, but if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And what being saved means, and take the next 10, 15 minutes giving the gospel to the whole class, because that kid asked a question.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Amen? Now, you may say, well, you still can't preach. Well, it gets to preaching sometimes, amen? But being in there doing the character classes gives me an opportunity to build the relationships with those kids. And then a lot of times you get in there, you do the character classes, you end up meeting the teachers who are over the Bible clubs. Now in the Bible clubs, because the kids are choosing to come, no restrictions basically. I just preach whatever God lays on my heart, give invitation, lead kids to Christ because it's a Bible club, everybody knows what it is, they don't have to come, okay? So, but I get a lot of kids come to our Bible clubs that we do in those same schools that we teach a character in because you build the relationship with them in the classroom.
Amen.
They might never come to this church or my church, but you build a relationship with them in the classroom and say, well, that preacher's okay. I'm going to go check him out one time. And then come to Bible club, God get a hold of their heart and they get saved. Amen?
Amen.
And so we thank the Lord for the Bible clubs. That's what we do in the public schools and then also the character classes. As you can imagine, I don't do 24 prisons by myself. And then there's 22 public schools that this ministry is being done in West Virginia. I don't do 24 prisons and 22 public schools by myself. We've got another missionary, Brother Ira Holland, who's a full-time missionary with our ministry like myself. And he's out of a solid fundamental Baptist church like this one and like our home church. And he goes in and does all pretty much schools. That's all he does. And then I pretty much do prisons. That's all I do. And then we have a bunch of local church volunteers out of good solid churches like this one all over West Virginia. They come in with us and they help us. We've got several people. Our youth pastor of the church that me and Mike are out of, he goes in and teaches character classes in the local high school. In fact, we have a kid. I say kid. Amen. He's now an assistant pastor. A young adult man that got saved through the school ministry that's now an assistant pastor.
Amen.
Of a Baptist church. Amen. Through the school ministry, okay? So we know that it's working. Amen. We know the gospel works. So we definitely appreciate your prayers and all we do. I normally average about anywhere from 32 to 36,000 miles a year going all over West Virginia to the prisons and schools and churches and things like that. So we definitely need your prayers. Amen. I got a few prayer cards with me. If you'd like one, I got them over there in the seat and you can have one and love for you to pray for us. Amen.
Amen right there.
I want you to take your Bible this evening and just go anywhere you want to. It's all good. Amen. But if you're going to go with me, let's go to John chapter 15, please. The Gospel of John chapter number 15. I got all kinds of different outlines I could preach. It's been a long time since I preached here. And I probably preached here about maybe 8 or 9, 10 times over the years. So all kinds of mess I could preach, but it's not about just preaching an outline. It's about what the Lord, where the Lord wants us to go. Amen.
Amen.
So find your place in John chapter 15. Still working on some of y'all. I ain't got a smile yet out of some of you. We're working on it, though. I'm going to sing a special for you. Hopefully it'll be okay. And I mean that it won't be off pitch and all that kind of good stuff. Amen. I have been preaching a lot. But I'm going to sing this song. Y'all don't laugh at me when I tell you the title of my song. as small as I am. Amen? It's the title of the song. Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I just can't understand. For there were others more worthy of Jesus than me. Yet you love me as small as I am. And sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but when I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin. He puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. Well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler king. And this old world doesn't know who I am. But Jesus walks right beside me. He fights my battles and guides me. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. And sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but when I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin. He puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. He picks me up, wipes off my sin. He puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to look with me in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse number 16. We're going to look at that verse, and then we're going to jump into Matthew 9, Matthew chapter number 9, John's Gospel, chapter number 15, and we'll look at verse number 16 there. The Bible says in John 15, 16, Jesus said, words of Christ in red, if you have a study Bible, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Now we understand here in God's Word that as the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching here and giving us His Word, he said, look, you're not the one that came looking for me, but I came looking for you.
Amen.
Amen. He said, you weren't the one searching after me, but I was searching after you. He said, I was searching after you because I loved you, because I had a purpose for your life, because I wanted to do something with you. Y'all mind if I preach?
Amen.
I'm going to anyhow. Amen. I'm just trying to be nice about it. Amen. I have a purpose for your life is what God's trying to say here. I've chosen you and I've ordained you. I have a purpose for your life. I got some things I want you to do. And can I say, if you're a Christian, you ought to produce other Christians.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you're a Christian, you ought to produce other Christians. You ought to live life in such a way that when your neighbors and your family and your co-workers, and if you're young, the people you go to school with, they look at you and you talk different than them.
Amen.
And you act different than them.
Amen.
And you handle bad situations different than them. And they see something different about you that you want. We should also be bearing fruit, not only by the way we live, but by what we say. We should literally, verbally share the gospel with others, shouldn't we?
Amen.
We should.
Yes, sir.
God says we ought to be bringing forth fruit. We ought to be producing something. There ought to be some growth. There ought to be some results that are presented and produced as a result of what we're doing. I want to preach for just the next few minutes. Well, he said, till I'm done. Amen. Let me just train you on how to deal with. I'm going to teach you how to deal with me. Okay. If y'all look at me ugly and give me dirty looks, or don't at least smile at me when I'm preaching, I'm going to think that I'm not making myself clear, And I'm gonna think that you're not getting what I'm saying, and I'm gonna think that I need to elaborate even more. So if y'all want to get out of here faster, if you're not willing to say amen, at least smile at me when I'm preaching, even if you don't want to. Even if it hurts, smile, amen.
Amen.
And we'll get out of here quicker, all right? But look at, we're going to talk about an eternal and effective difference tonight. That's what we're going to preach on.
Amen.
An eternal and an effective difference. And that's what we ought to be trying to do. That's what a church ought to be trying to do.
Amen.
Is make an eternal and an effective difference on those around them. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the privilege to be here at Crossroads Baptist Church. We're thankful for all the great years, Lord, this church has been around, God, proclaiming the gospel. God, I'm thankful for my friend, Pastor Mike Hayes, Lord, and his faithfulness, Lord, and his obedience, and you leading him here. Lord, I know that you want to do a great work with him. Father, I pray now that you'd help me, God, to encourage your people here. God, I cannot do that of my own self. I'm mindful of what one preacher said. Father, I fully agree with it, that, Lord, you don't need me, but I sure need you tonight. I pray that you'd help me. That you fill me from the bottom of my feet, top of my head with your spirit. And God, that you might use me as your mouthpiece tonight. Father, help me not to say not one thing that you've not had me to say. God, we pray most of all why it is Sunday night and probably everybody here is saved. If there is somebody here that's not saved, Father, we pray that your spirit would deal with them and draw them under a saving knowledge of your dear son. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I want to give you four thoughts. Amen. I had somebody all worried for a minute, like, oh no. This ain't gonna be good. Amen. Four thoughts here tonight. About making an eternal and effective difference. How can we do that according to the Scriptures? Well, look with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9, and let's look at verse number 30. Let's look at 35 and 36 to start out with. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Can I say to you this, first of all, number one, for us to make an eternal and an effective difference in the lives of those around us, number one, we need to have a burden that's fresh. A burden that's fresh. Amen? And you said, preacher, how can I have, and Pastor John one time, this has been years ago, my pastor, his pastor, preached a message one time on the difference between a concern and a burden. Now, if you're truly saved, you're truly born again, you're truly on your way to heaven, I believe you are concerned about people going to hell when they die, aren't you? I believe you're concerned with missionaries and their need to take the gospel all over the world in places that God has not called you to. I believe if you're a Christian, you're concerned with what's going on in your community. I told Pastor Mike when I was down here at the stoplight by the gas station, by the pilot, just right over here, I about seen somebody get killed right there, amen? Literally, this guy come flying through the light, it turned green, and I was just about, it had turned green, just turned green, my light had turned light to turn by the pilot coming from the interstate, turn left there. And right as I was getting ready to pull out and hit the gas, I took my foot off the brake, getting ready to touch the gas, here comes this Chevy pickup truck, whoom, right through the intersection, and he hit that other side that was kind of went like this, you know, through there, and he went, boom, come off the ground. I was watching this vehicle off the ground probably that far. Slams down, hits some kind of a bucket in the back of his truck. He goes flying out. He goes flying down the road. Now I'm going down the same road he is, but staying way back from him, amen. He's going flying down the road, and he goes to pass people on the double yellow, and people coming the other way are getting off the bottom of the road to keep from getting hit head on by him. Now I don't know if he's drunk, high, or stupid, or all of the above, amen. But I'm telling you, people are crazy today, aren't they? And we just don't know what some people's going to do. And if we're not careful, we can look at the way that things are going in this world, and we all, I believe, in the last days. Now, we're in the last 50, last 100, I don't know. But I believe we are in the last days. We can look at how wicked things are, and it can make us angry instead of making us compassionate.
Yes, sir. You're right, preacher.
When I go into these prisons, I'm sure some of you are thinking, boy, I'm glad you go to these prisons because I wouldn't go. Why not? They're people just like you. They've made mistakes too.
Yes, sir.
If you would deal with some of the people that I deal with and you would get to know them and you would have compassion on them, you find out real quick why they're locked up.
Amen.
Why, a lot of the men that I work with and women that I work with and teenagers that I work with, they're being raised by grandparents, mom and dad are too high or too drunk to worry about taking care of them. They've been abused physically, sexually, or otherwise, mentally, emotionally. They've been abused. They've been neglected. You'll find out that a lot of pedophiles were molested themselves, a big percentage of them. Now, I'm not excusing what they've done. I'm not excusing sin. Never okay for an adult to touch a child in a way like that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's never okay for you to murder. I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm not talking about fighting for your country in the military. I'm talking about it's never okay for you to murder somebody. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm not talking about military fighting for your country. I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm talking about murder somebody, kill somebody, take somebody's life needlessly, okay? But I'm telling you this, if you get to know some of these ungodly people, you get to know some, and I'm not talking about not being separated, not being biblical. I'm just talking about take the time to get to know your neighbors. Not go out and eat with them if they're lost and drink beer, but take the time to talk to them, run out in the yard, and witness to them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You find out real quick why they act the way they act. They're not saved.
Amen.
They're not right with God. Now, we should hate sin, but we should be like Jesus and love the sinner.
Amen.
I was in a church that supports me. This has been several years back. This church has been supporting me for several years as a missionary. I was in this church, Pastor Mike, and there was this guy there, and me and him were talking about how bad things are right now, right? How bad society is and how bad, awful things there are, the things we see, the school shootings and all things like that. And the topic of homosexuality came up, and many of them were talking about that sin. And this guy that was in this church said, yeah, he said, I seen this lady who was a homosexual in the store, in the grocery store, wherever, I don't know where he was at, but in the grocery store there somewhere near Charleston. And he said, I looked at her and said, you better get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And just said it mean, and that's all he said to her. Why didn't he give her a track and invite her to church? Why didn't he just tell her God loves you and give her the gospel if he didn't have a track on him? Some church members and some preachers, they approach working with the lost like a bull in a china shop, don't they?
Amen.
And they do more harm than they do good.
Right.
And shame on me and you if we drive people away. We ought to leave somebody that we witnessed to or that we gave a tract to at least better off or the same as when we got done first talking to them.
Amen.
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 Can I say, if we let the Lord lead us as we witness, God will sometimes cause us to be rough with some people, but sometimes He'll lead us to be easy with people, and that depends upon the person you're dealing with. I've had people in prison. I'm just telling you, some of the people I know in prison, if you tried to be rough witness with them, they'd punch you right in the mouth. Amen. I can take you to other people in prison I work with. If you ain't rough with them, you ain't getting nowhere with them.
Yeah.
You handle them with kids' gloves, and they're going to look at you like you a wimp and like you nothing, and they're just going to brush you off, and you got to be stern with them to get through to them.
Amen.
So how do I know who to be stern with and how to know who to be easy with? Well, that's why you need to have spiritual discernment.
Amen.
That's why you don't need to be a baby Christian.
Amen.
Need to have a burden that's fresh. How can we have a burden that's fresh? We've got to keep our heart right with God.
Amen.
We've got to keep our heart right with God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether for you to drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, preacher, how can I live a life in such a way where I keep my heart where God wants it to be? Well, be faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday unless you're sick or working.
Amen.
Read your Bible every day.
Amen.
Read 4 or 5 chapters at least a day. You'll read through your Bible in a year if you read 5 chapters a day.
Amen.
Pray to God every day and ask God to help you and help your family and help your marriage and help your siblings and stuff like that. Have time with prayer with God every day, and then try your best. The things you learn from reading and studying your Bible, the things that you learn from going to a good church like this one, try your best to do what God says to do, and your heart most of the time will be where it needs to be.
Amen.
We're all going to have our moments. But if you want to have more better moments than bad moments, you better keep a burden that's fresh. You better keep your heart right with God. How can we keep that burden fresh? By keeping our heart right. By having genuine compassion. By loving and caring for others.
Amen, preacher.
The Bible says in Jude 1, 22 and 23, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Boy, isn't that? I read that verse, and you know what? It's sad to me what that verse says. It says, and if some have compassion. How many of us know as a Christian we should live like Jesus?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that's our measuring stick? Your measuring stick is not your pastor. That is not when you say, boy, I read as much Bible as Pastor Mike. I'm good to go. I don't got to read any more Bible than what I'm reading now. I pray as much as Pastor Mike told me he prays. I ain't got to go up any in my praying ever again for the rest of my life. I'm up to what my pastor's up to. I pass out as many tracts as Pastor Mike does. Or as Brother Blake, the missionary, says he does. No, your measuring stick is not him. It's not me. And by the way, that's why a lot of Christians are out of church today, is because they had their faith in a man instead of the God of that pastor.
That's right.
I don't think my pastor will ever get away from the Lord, but if he does, I want to let you know by the grace of God, that ain't going to stop me from keep going to church. That ain't going to stop me from preaching. That ain't going to stop me from standing on the stuff. Amen. Our faith should not be in a man. Our faith should be in the God of our pastor. Amen. That's who our faith should be in. Our measuring stick is Christ. And the Bible says when he saw these multitudes in verse 36, he was moved with compassion. He had a burden. He seen the needs that they had, and it caused him to do something.
Amen.
A concern won't cause you to do something, but a burden will. That's the difference. If you have a burden for lost souls, guess what you'll do? You'll pass out tracts. You'll live clean in front of your neighbors and the lost people around you. You know what you'll do? You'll tithe to your local church and you'll give to Faith Promise.
Amen.
If you got a burden.
That's right.
There's a big difference between a burden and a concern, okay?
Yes,
and God wants us to have a burden, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. In Psalm 125, 5 and 6, but they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But we've lost those tears, haven't we?
Amen.
We're in such a hard, cold generation.
Yes, sir.
Can I say this to you? You need to have a burden for people. You know what gets through to some of them hard inmates I deal with? That I really care. It takes some time for some of them. Remember the fungus? Y'all remember that? Growing you like a fungus? It takes some time for some people. Some people, you ain't just going to get one track and them get saved.
Right.
They're just hard-hearted. You're going to have to work on them and work on them and work on them and pray for them and pray for them and pray for them and witness to them and live right in front of them, and they still may not get saved.
Right.
Some people just ain't going to get saved just like that. Amen?
Yeah,
and ain't nobody going to care how much you know till they know how much you care.
That's right. That's right there. Amen.
Let's look at the second thing. Don't worry. I've just got three more. Amen? We need to have a burden that's fresh. Number two, we need to have a belief that's founded.
Hey.
A belief that's founded. Look in chapter 10 of Matthew in verses 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verses 5, 6, and 7. The Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what Jesus told his disciples to preach? The Word of God.
Amen.
You know what we ought to base everything we do off of? This right here.
That's right.
I used to work at CSX there in Huntington, just across the river, on 6th Avenue and 20th Street as an electrician before I went into this ministry. And there was a guy over there that he was a good Christian man, and me and him always got along, but one day he got really mad at me. Can you believe somebody get mad at me? Hard to believe, right? I thought everybody liked me, Brother Mike, but it turns out, Pastor Mike, not everybody likes me, okay? And so me and him got into an argument, and he started the argument. My dad taught me, never start a fight, but finish it, amen? So he started a fight with me, an argument that's common amongst different denominations about women preachers. And he actually grew up Baptist. He grew up white as a kid, but sometime as an older teenager or a young adult, he got out of it, got into some liberal churches and stuff like that. And he thought it was okay for women to preach and stuff like that according to the Bible. And me and him, he brought it up. I didn't bring it up. And he started saying that. And here was his side, his justification that it was okay for women to preach. And he said, you know what? He said, how can you deny what somebody says that God is leading them to do? And I said, when it don't line up with the Bible.
Amen. You're right, preacher.
You say, God's leading me to go get drunk. No, he's not. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You say, preacher, God's leading me. God's leading me to smoke marijuana. No, he's not. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom may devour. God's leading me to be living with some person I ain't married to of the opposite sex. No, he's not.
Right.
The Bible says about the marriage bed in the book of Hebrews chapter 13.
Amen.
Amen. Marriage is honorable in the bed and defiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Amen.
You ought to base everything that you do, and I ought to base everything that I do off the Word of God. You say, well, I make my decisions based on how I think. Well, then you're going to make a lot of bad ones.
Amen.
And you're going to end when you die and your life is over with a lot of regrets.
Yes, sir.
Well, preacher, I base things based on what's going to make me the most financially secure. Well, you're not going to have a lot of eternal rewards in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. You're not going to truly be happy.
Say,
preacher, I want to be happy. Well, let me tell you how to be happy. You want to know? I'm going to tell you how to be the happiest you can be. Know the Lord's your Savior. Try your best to live for Him. Let Him lead you in your life, and you'll be as happy as you could possibly be. You are never going to truly be happy until you're in the center of God's will for your life. And how are you going to get in the center of God's will for your life? You're going to have to be grounded in the Word of God, and you're going to have to let the Lord lead you. Learn to let Him lead you, and learn to let Him show you what you need to do. We need to have a belief that's founded. You know that our country was founded upon this book.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I was at a church one time. Pastor Mike knows him. His name's Pastor Bradley Goodwin. He's up in Jackson County, West Virginia. And he approached me one day. There's a pastor friend of mine. And he said, I want you to do our summer revival that we're going to have at our church. And he said, I never tell anybody what to preach. He said, but we want to do a patriotic theme. He said, whatever God lays in your heart on a patriotic theme. And for four services, I talked about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, I talked about our Christian heritage and how God is intertwined in the founding and establishing of our country.
Amen.
Let me give you just a small nugget and we'll move on. How many of you have ever heard of the Washington Monument in D.C.?
Yep.
Okay. It is literally the highest structure in the most powerful nation in the world right now, right? You want to know what's on the top of that? That structure has a cap on top of it, and there's four sides on the cap, okay? Three of the sides of the caps are engraved in stone with accreditation or thankfulness to the builders and different contracting companies that built it. The only thing that's on there that is not thanking or giving recognition to the contractors that built it is one phrase, which is Laus Deo, which is in Latin, which means praise be to God. The Liberty Bell has one thing on it that's not secular, and it's a Bible verse, the Liberty Bell.
Amen.
When you go up the stairs of the Washington Monument, when you get to the top of it, when you go up them stairs on the different landings, there's all kinds of different things from Chinese churches and all kinds of different things that are spiritual all up and down that thing. You look at the quotes of our founding fathers, and I'm here to tell you, you'd be crazy to think that most of them weren't Christians. Our laws in our country was founded upon the Word of God. Amen? That's why we live in the greatest nation in the world. Is not because most of us are from Europe or something like that. It's not because of the color of our skin. It's because we were founded upon the Word of God.
Amen.
You need to found yourself, and I need to found myself off this book. You ought to know what you believe and why you believe.
Amen.
what you believe. I was talking to a man this afternoon. I was telling Pastor Mike about it before church. It's my wife's uncle, okay? We had a little family get together because of Easter and stuff. Had a good, awesome food, something I love, near and dear to my heart, food, as you can tell. And me and him were sitting there, and he teaches Sunday school in a Baptist church. Now, they're a lot more liberal than this church, but they're a Baptist church, okay? And he had really been questioning, did God really create everything, or did God he was wondering if God didn't use evolution. And I sat there for a half an hour and talked to my wife's uncle about how we know there's a God and how we, because he believes in God, he's saved, but how we know that God didn't use evolution was bringing out scientific facts.
Amen.
In fact, this Tuesday, I'm preaching a revival this week at a church up north of in Jackson County, or it's actually just across the line from Jackson County, between Ravenswood and Parkersburg, West Virginia. I'm preaching a little church up there. And on Tuesday, we're having a youth night. And I'm going to be doing an entire message, probably an hour and a half, 2 hour long presentation on how do we know there's a God, on creation and evolution.
Amen.
You say, why do you do that? Well, because people wonder about it and it's crammed down our kids' throats.
Amen.
Amen. And because the Bible tells us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and to be ready always to have an answer to every man that asketh us of the hope that's in us with meekness and in fear. God says we ought to have an answer. You can't read a little kid's book. My daughter is just starting to read really good. Who's 8 years old. She's starting to read really good. And you can't look at a little kid's dinosaur book and don't start out saying, millions of years ago.
Amen.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out, time out, time out, time out before you even start. Was the writer of that book alive millions of years ago? Was that writer's grandpa alive millions of years ago? Was his grandpa's 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 So how does he know that? He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that. And I could go on and on into science dating and their dating methods and how unscientific they are and how they don't line up, but that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. But I've learned a lot about evolution and science and creation because why? Because it makes me a better soul winner. It makes me a better preacher to know these things. When teenagers ask me these questions, when young adults I work with in the prisons ask me these questions, I can sit down with them and talk to them for an hour and a half about creation and evolution. They'll sit there the whole time going, they're not used to a preacher knowing anything about it.
Amen.
Well, we ought to know stuff about it, Brother Mike, Pastor Mike.
Amen.
We ought to, all of us. You teach Sunday school, you ought to know something about it.
Amen.
You're a parent, you ought to know something about it.
Amen.
You're a grandparent, you ought to know something about it.
Yep.
You're a pastor, you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a deacon, you're a Christian. We all of us ought to know a little something. There is no excuse. You can get on YouTube and you can watch Kent Hovind's series. That's who I like to watch. And you can watch all the different stuff he's got about creation. You can get on and get some of the resources on the internet from Answers in Genesis, Kent Ham, some of his resources. There's books about this stuff where you can know about it and just have a little bit of knowledge about it will make you very effective with a lot of people.
Amen.
A whole lot of people. We ought to have a belief that's founded. We ought to know not just what we believe, but why we believe what we believe.
Amen.
A lost family member, a friend of yours, or coworker don't want to hear what Pastor Mike says. Well, Pastor Mike says this. So, who's Pastor Mike?
Right.
Some of them that don't even believe the Bible's the Word of God. You say, well, the Bible says that ain't going to do it for them either.
Amen.
You better base all your answers off this. But you better use this to talk to them in such a way that's going to get truth across to them.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me show you what I'm talking about. Did you know that Romans 1 says that it's common sense there's a God?
Yep.
It says in Romans 1, it says the things from creation, I believe it's verse 18, are clearly seen. Clearly seen. Y'all not have a microphone, like a, you don't have one of them microphone mic things for a singer, do you? All right, let's do this. We'll use this prop. I'm not going to tear it up. Don't worry, it's an American flag, all right? All right, here's what I want to ask you. Can you all still see me? Behind the flag? Okay? Clearly means it's not even the flagpole getting in the way. It's not even this little mic stand. Can you all still see me? Find that? Not even that much in the way. Clearly, you look it up, it means no fogginess to it, no distorting at all. There's no smudges in the way. It's as clear as the hand in front of your face. The Bible says there's a God. Now, do I quote that verse to them? No, I do sometimes, but I'll say, look, it's common sense there's a God. Watch means watchmaker. Car means car maker. Building means builder. See, I'm bringing my answer from the Word of God, but I'm not telling them, hey, the Bible says so, and that's just the way it is. Well, I agree with the Bible says so, that's the way it is. We need to explain it to them. Amen.
Amen.
The second way I tell them whether there's a God is science. And in Romans 1, it says they hold the truth in their unrighteousness. They're restraining the thought, people that say they're atheists, they're restraining the thought, agnostic, that there's a God. They know deep down there's something more out there. They may not know what it is. They may not really believe in the God of the Bible, but they know there's got to be some sort of a higher power God out there, but they don't want to know Him, because if there's a God, He's got rules. We don't like rules, do we? If there's a God and He's got rules, He can enforce those rules. And in mind and your sin nature, we just don't like people telling us what to do. So those people are constantly trying to push the thought that there's a God down. Push the conviction down. That's why they never go to church, most of them.
Amen.
They don't want to feel guilty about their sin. They enjoy their sin. So we ought to have a belief that's founded. Let's move on, okay? We need to have a burden that's fresh, a belief that's founded. We ought to have, number three, and we already kind of talked about this, a body that's filled. And I just mean by that, letting God control you, letting God guide your mouth when you talk. Matthew 10, look at verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and they shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. God is telling us here, we need to let the Lord lead us in what we say and what we do. And I know so many churches, they've got their little, and I'm not trying to be mean, but they'll have their bulletin. I appreciated watching your pastor before church going through the hymn book and trying to find out what God wanted him to lead in singing. I go to some churches and you look at their bulletin and they've got, and I'm not saying God can't lead you to do it this way, okay? But they've got everything mapped out. This is exactly what we're going to sing. This is exactly what the preacher's going to preach. I'm not against that if the Lord leads that way. But you can't tell me in every church, for every man of God, they always know what they're going to preach. But in some churches, they better know what they're going to preach because it needs to go in the bulletin. What if God don't lead that way?
Amen.
Well, I can't preach that because it's already in the bulletin. We can't sing that. That's not in the bulletin.
Amen.
You know, you can organize God right out of your service. You can organize God right out of your life if you ain't careful.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying we should do everything off the cuff, and I'm not saying we should be disorganized, because I believe a lot of churches, it's the extreme one other. They're either too organized and they organize God right out of it, or they're unorganized and they go, well, I'm just going to follow the leading of the Lord. It's like, okay, well, yeah, but you know, you ought to have a little bit of structure too.
Yeah, amen.
I'm talking about finding a balance in all that, letting the Lord lead you, amen? Letting Him lead you. And then last of all, let me give you this. We need to have a backbone that's fixed.
Amen.
That's good.
A backbone that's fixed. If you look at chapter 10, we stopped reading in verse 20, and let's pick up in verse 21. The Bible says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you're going to serve in your church, if you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be a deacon, if you're going to teach a Sunday school class, I'm here to tell you, if you're going to share your faith, there is going to be opposition.
Amen.
And older preachers would do good to teach younger preachers to be prepared for it, because it's going to come. Mom and dad, be prepared. Your kids are not going to do what you want them to do.
Amen.
You better have a backbone. I know parents that will not tell their kids no. Let me tell you the type of parents that really aggravate me, and I hope we don't have any parents in here like this. But it's when I'm out in public sometimes, and you hear these people, they'll look at their kids and say, now one more time you do that, you're in trouble. Now one more time, 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 one more time. And after about 50 times, I'm sitting there going, I want to take off my belt and spank their kid for them. Amen. Amen. Or spank the parent. Amen. Amen. Can I say something to you? We need to keep our word. We need to follow through. We need to have a backbone. Amen. That's fixed. Amen. My dad, he spanked me often, early, often, whether I needed it or not. Amen. Not true. Normally I didn't need it. Amen. More than I got away with more than what I got spanked for that I didn't do that my sisters lied on me on, okay? A whole lot more. I know girls would never do that, okay? But a whole lot more. Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that if we're going to be who God wants us to be, we're going to have to learn to reject our flesh. At many times, we're going to have to learn to reject what other people think about us and just let the Lord have His way and just let God work. Hey, you ain't going to have crop without plucking out some weeds. You ain't going to have a nice lawn without having to mow some grass every now and then. You ain't going to have a nice house very long without having to do some repairs to it to keep it that way. And like I say, the same thing is true as a Christian, as a believer.
Amen.
Man, you're going to have to learn sometimes to suck it up, buttercup. Amen.
Amen.
And do what God wants us to do. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When Paul compared the Christian life, he said, it's like being in a fight. It's like being in a war. It's like being in a battle. Now, what does that tell us? Well, I can preach to y'all what happens in war. I've got an entire message on that. And I just give you roughly, just real quick, and then you'll probably forget, and the next time I hear it, I'll preach it to you. Amen. What happens in war? Well, let me just tell you something. You're ordered into battle. Can I say, if you're saved, God wants you to do something for Him, not just sit there with your, just keeping the pew warm. God wants you to serve somewhere.
Amen.
So I don't know what to do. Well, come ask Pastor Mike. I guarantee he can give you something to do that'll help him out.
Amen.
I seen a grass mowing list back there that missing some names on it for the next foreseeable future for mowing the grass here. So I don't know what to do. Well, there's a list back there that's got some blanks on it you could sign up for. I just noticed as I was coming in the door. He didn't tell me, would you please say something when you preach about people mowing the grass? He did not say that to me, okay? He did not. That just popped into my mind. God popped into my mind that I seen it when I was coming through. It was just right there, right by my face. I couldn't miss it, okay? So I don't know what to do. Volunteer to sweep the church. When they clean the church, you help clean the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Mike, you happen to hear when you're here, there's something wrong with one of the toilets, and you know how to do plumbing work? Look at him and say, preacher, I know how to do that. Can I help you with the fix that toilet when I get a chance, when I've got some time off?
Amen.
Preacher, I noticed that Sunday school room needs to be painted. I noticed there's some issues down that Sunday school room. Can I go fix that Sunday school room for you because I know how to do that kind of work? I guarantee you he'd let you do it. Look for somewhere to do something. Preacher gets up and says, hey, we need somebody to help out with the nursery. So I ain't going to do that. I don't blame you, but amen. So, preacher, I'll do that. I'll help out the nursery. I won't run it, preacher, but I'll help. I'll help. You said, need somebody to help? I'll help. We need somebody to help teach, be an assistant in a Sunday school class. You get up and say something like that. We need somebody to help out in vacation Bible school.
Amen.
I'll do that, preacher. I'll help. I may not know anything about it, but I'll help, preacher. I'll learn.
That's it.
Amen. Bible says we're in war.
Amen.
You're ordered into battle. Can I say there's casualties in war? I got people that I once preached with, they ain't preaching anymore. I got people that I went to church with, they ain't in church anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
There's casualties. Can I say, and in war, let me give you this one. I forgot what the third point is. I don't have the outline right in front of me. But let me give you the last point about what happens in war. Let me say this to you about war. Paul said we're in war. Let me give this to you. In war, you've got to learn to push yourself past what you think you can do to survive.
That's right.
God called me to preach. Let me just tell you a word about me and I'll be finished, okay? Preachers have seven closings. So I think I already said after this I'll quit maybe once or twice. So I'm still doing good. Preachers, just count it out sometime. And after this I'm done. And after this I'm done. It's like, man, he's done said that five times. And after, hey, it's hard to land, okay? If you were up here, you'd know how hard it is. Amen, sometime. All right? You just got to know me, okay? You didn't grow up with me. He's a lot younger than me, and I've only known him a few years since he came to our church. You just got to know me like God knows me and like my wife knows me who grew up with me and a lot of people that still go to our church that grew up with me. I was very, very, and you're probably not going to believe this, that's okay, shy. Very shy. He said, no, seriously, I was, okay? And so when I got out of church as a young adult, I grew up in church my whole life. I got out of church as a young adult, ran around a lot of rough neighborhoods of Huntington, very easily could have been killed or been locked up by some of the people I was running with, some place I was hanging out. I got rededicated my life to the Lord, got back in church. I knew God wanted me to go out soul winning, but I didn't know how I was going to do that. I just knew God wanted me to and felt like the Lord wanted me to, even though I never was good talking to people. I was not good talking to girls growing up. I did not make friends easily. I was very shy and very backward. And so I went. I just knew God wanted me to do it. I didn't want to disobey God anymore. We'll try my best to do the right thing. So I started going. The guy that was leading our soul winner at that time looked at me and said, Mike, said, I'm glad that you're willing to come. He said, you'll free up another team because we got two by two when we got door knocking. And he said, when you feel ready, you just tell whoever your soul winning partner is that night. I'll get the next door. So for 9 months, I went on visitation Thursday night and Saturday afternoon and didn't say one word. 9 months. Okay? I just smiled. Okay? After 9 months, now it's not because God didn't tell me to get the next door before 9 months. It was that long before I was obedient. I told my soul winning partner that day, I said, I'll get the next door. I didn't know this, but about a couple months later, they didn't want to discourage me, but the soul winning guy told me, so we didn't think you were ever going to talk. Now, listen to this. Took me 9 months to feel comfortable to talk to one person one-on-one about my faith. That's how shy I was. 3 months after I said my first word, right? Y'all with me? 9 months, first start talking. 3 months after that, a year after I'd gotten back into church, God calls me to preach. I said, now, Lord, it took me 9 months to talk to one person. Lord, I didn't do good in school. Don't you remember what my grades were? I barely graduated. Lord, don't you know that I didn't go to college? And I'm not intelligent. Or don't you know that I'm not a leader? A preacher's got to be a leader. And God wouldn't let up, and I knew God was calling me to preach, and I answered my call to preach, and I was terrified to death. And my pastor, you just got to know our pastor. He's a very big, intimidating dude. I'm scared of him. In the Lord and physically, too. Amen? And he walked up to me. I answered the call to preach on a Wednesday night service. He walks up to me. This is back in 2003. And I was arguing with the Lord before I answered the call to preach. Lord, how long is it going to take me to feel comfortable to be obedient to you? That took me 9 months for just to talk to one person. How long is it going to take me to get in front of a bunch of people and preach? So my pastor come up to me after that Wednesday night service. I answered the call to preach. Comes up to me. He says, Mike, he said, we can tell God's been doing some things in your life. He said, we're glad that God's called you to preach and that God's working in your life and you're letting him work in your life. He said, next Wednesday night before I preach, you're doing the devotion. And I'm sitting there going, I'm like looking around like, I know he ain't talking to me. Don't he know who I am? I wasn't about to say no. I got up. I was so shy. I got up that first time preaching, and I seen those young boys get up and be so nervous they won't look up. I thought, well, I don't want to look like a dork. You know, when you're young, you're worried about being cool, right? So I thought, well, I'm going to fool them because there's about 300 people at our church on Wednesday night. First time I preached, 300 people. Oh, I don't look stupid. It's a big church. So I just, whatever, now and then, occasionally, Mike, I just give you a little hint if you get nervous about some of their faces, okay? I just look back and forth across the back row every now and then. Look up, look back row, and then look back down. My wife's cousin goes to church with us, David Lamont. He comes up to me after a preach. He goes, you didn't do that bad. He said, most people won't even look at you. He said, you looked at us. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't look at you. I didn't look at nobody. Not one person in the church that I look at when I was preaching. I said, I looked back and forth across the back wall. That's how I know God's got a sense of humor. He called me to preach. Shy backward. Want you to be bold for me in the prisons. What? Are you crazy? No, God's not crazy, but sometimes me and you are.
Amen.
Not very smart. Teacher of your word. That's what you want me to do. Amen. Follower, you want me to be a leader? I got 50 different people that look at me to be a leader, pastors and everything else. When they're with me in the prison, I'm their leader. They got way more ministry experience than me, and I'm their leader. Can you believe that? Bible says God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Amen.
I'm just happy to be a fool for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So don't look at me and say, well, I hear people all the time, well, I know God don't want me to take that Sunday school class. Really? Well, I know God don't want me to help out with Vacation Bible School. Really? You better pray and ask Him first before you make that, well, you just don't know me, brother. Well, you just don't know me either, sir, ma'am. I preached to as many as 1,000 people at one time. Shy, backward kid from West Virginia. So don't look at me and say, God can't do that. You know what you're doing when you say that? You're limiting God. Do you realize that your shyness or my shyness or mine and your lack of humanistic knowledge is not too much for God to overcome?
Come on.
Your lack of education, my lack of extra education is not too much for Him to overcome. So I'm not even good with kids. I know God don't want me to do that. Well, God can make you good with kids.
Amen.
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 God can make you in. He is not going to lead you somewhere or put something on your heart or convict you when the pastor says it for you to do something that you're not doing without supplying the knowledge down the road, without supplying the ability where God guides, He provides.
Amen.
So don't just brush things off and say, well, that's not me. This wasn't me either, but God called me to this.
Right.
Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many folks in here know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die, heaven would be your home? Would you raise your hand? You know the Lord is your Savior? All right, thank you. You may put them down. I'm not here to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to come to your seat or do anything like that and try to drag you up here. But I would like to pray for you. If you're here and you say, preacher, I'm just not 100% sure if I die to go to heaven, but I'd like to be before I die. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out to everybody. I just want to pray for you if you're here and you're like that. Just slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure if I die to go to heaven. Maybe you're 70% sure. Maybe you're 80. Maybe you're 90. But you're not 100% sure if you died, you go to heaven. I just want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up real high and then put it right back down. Preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up real high, put it right back down. All right, how many Christians in here tonight would say, Brother Blake, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart somewhere in that message. I don't think we have to necessarily get specific, though we can. But somewhere in that message, you say, preacher, somewhere in that message, whether it be knowing more about why you believe what you believe, or whether it be learning to let the Lord lead you, maybe you need to learn to let the Lord lead you more. You know that normally you let your emotions lead you or something like that. But you say, preacher, somewhere in that message, God spoke to my heart, pray for me. I'm saved, but God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Yes, 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 yes. All right. We're going to pray. And sister, if you wouldn't mind coming to the piano and just playing something, whatever you want to play, and I will pray for you guys. And if God spoke to your heart, you're a Christian, but God spoke to your heart, I want to invite you to come up here and pray about whatever God dealt with your heart about, okay? Father, we love you. God, we thank you. And God, we praise you, God, not only for who you are, But what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do, God, to think, God, you called me to preach. God, to think that you placed Pastor Mike here. God, to think that you've saved all of our souls. Father, I'm afraid that so many times we think too much of ourselves. And I think some people don't think highly enough of themselves, Father. But God, Lord, we're nothing outside of you, but we can do all things through you. And I pray, God, that you'd move in this invitation time. I pray that you would, the folks here would be obedient to you. Father, we all could do a better job of knowing why we believe what we believe. We could all do a better job of letting you lead us more. We could all do a better job of not letting people get under our skin. We could all do a better job, God, of having a burden, praying and crying and weeping for folks that are lost that we love and care about. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet this evening. If the Lord has spoken,